We're going to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And while you're turning, I want to illustrate a biblical truth that will help you in your walk with God out of Joshua chapter 1. We need not turn for sake of time. I was going to call some folks up to break pencils for me, but that's going to take too much time. And as you can see, the pencils, I have several pencils here. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, God said, I've commanded thee, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Now, folks, he's at Walmart, too. He's everywhere present at all times. He can be with us in this building, and he can be with his people all over the face of the earth all at the same time and not be diminished in doing so.
Amen.
Well, one person actually believes that. Okay. Well, that ought to change the way you walk. That ought to change the way you drive. And that ought to change the way you shop at Walmart tomorrow if you're going to apply what you know today. Or go around and just keep, you'll never be used to the full extent God wants to use you today. You'll stand before him ashamed. Why would you want to live that way? You folks got brains. You can figure this thing. It's not complicated. Well, you remember the story about Joshua. Moses dead now. See, God said speak, he smote, and he was dead. He often gives the repentant child of God a second chance, but don't you ever presume upon that. You say, I'm not there yet in my walk with God. Well, get there. Get there. Yes. There is a place. You can draw nigh to God and get to know God as good as you want to. Get to know like God like Moses did, but he'll make it very clear to you. You do that again, whatever that might be, he says, I'm going to do what is needed to do to break you. I'll take you home. Maybe you're not there yet, but it's my desire that you get there. It really is. And so Joshua now is captain and leader of the children of Israel. And God, an amazing thing. He says, I want you to cross over the Jordan River with 2.5 million people. The man didn't even have a boat. And if you read the story, the banks, the Jordan River, the waters were over the banks. And so it was absolutely impossible. You can't live the Christian life. It's impossible apart from Christ. And so you're not going to accomplish anything at all for God apart from God's mercy, folks. It's only going to happen as God has mercy on you. And we'll notice that in Romans chapter 12 here in a minute. But anyway, he said, Joshua, I want you to cross over the Jordan River. Now, folks, he accomplished that because the man was obedient. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, Joshua, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, what Joshua did, he simply obeyed God. He claimed God's promises by faith, and the man was obedient. He was obedient. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, even in the Jordan. And so what are you saying? The word strong there is not this sort of strong. No, you wouldn't make, no. That word strong means to bind, cleave, fortify. You're learning something. Bind, cleave, fortify. This is most of God's people in the 21st century. They're like that pencil. A circumstance, trial, difficulty. You buy a brand new dress. You're going out the door and your brother shuts the door a little bit quicker than you got your dress out. And the thing get caught in the door and rips. Now, at this point, you're probably going to go ballistic, right, girls? But see, this is what's going to happen. That's ballistic. You're not much of a Christian. Now, you can apply that. I don't know what you're going to go through, what you've gone through already, or what's going to your face tomorrow. But if you're not careful, you're going to be just like that lady. It could be a lock. You get to the, it could be a lock, and you're frustrated because you just can't get the lock open on the door. What is it? Somebody, maybe illustrate so see if we're on the same page. What did you hear? What's going to frustrate you tomorrow?
Something doesn't go my way.
Something don't go your way, and this is what you're going to do. Snap, sorry about that. Okay, now, now, some of you folks say, what a waste of money. Did anybody come up with that yet? What a waste of money. Now, if you learn, this is only $3.50. Now, if you learn this biblical truth, I think I've got money well spent. But see, this is got what we're doing here. That is, see, you're in the classroom now. You've been in the classroom every day, ever since you got saved. You guys and girls don't like school. Well, you're going to have it rough. Because you're in a school. You're in a classroom the day you got saved. You've been in there. Now, you might not know that, but God has been trying to fix you up using circumstances, situations, and difficulties in your life, and you've been breaking under those. He's trying to temper you. He's trying to make you stronger. And so what you're doing, you're just breaking. You're not much of a Christian. Being in a nursery for how long you've been saved? God never intended His children to stay in a nursery. He intended His children to be strong and good courage. He said, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for I am with thee. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee. So what are you trying to say? That's the weak Christian. That's the Christian that, I mean, he get in a car accident. I met this brother not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, and he was in an awful a truck accident. His trucks went off the road in an embankment. He went down. All of a sudden, the cab caught on fire, and the only way he got out is he burst the back of the way. He got so, I guess, the pressure inside, and he hit his elbow on the back of the glass, and he was able to pop out and get out, and he wasn't scorched or anything. But he was kind of a little traumatized, you know, and then, expectedly, that would be true. You got these guys coming back from Iraq traumatized. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm simply saying some of them, they crack. They weak. They might not have Christ. No wonder they crack. But a Christian cracking, God never intended a Christian to crack. You see what I'm saying? He never intended you to live that. So, see, a bullet won't hit you except God gives it permission. Now, what would that do to someone who has no clue who God is, to one who knows who God is? He's going to be able to stand when others run. You see what I'm saying? We really got a real problem here. Okay, so anyway, this young man, and then he got in another accident. Wasn't his fault. Neither one was his fault. He was driving for FedEx. And he was driving off the road, getting off the road, coming off an exit. And there was a drunk driver who parked his car. He thought he was parking at home, and he parked it on the off ramp. Can you imagine that? Now, that was this guy here, born-again believer. He had no clue. It was dark. It was, for some reason, there was no lights at the off-ramp. And it was a black car. Lord, why would you do that? I'm trying to provide for my family. I'm trying to do right. You put a drunk out there in a black car? You ever thinking about that? Well, anyway, so here he comes and boom! Now the man's an absolute fruitcake. You know what? I got to sit down with him. You said, man, you kind of tough on him. Man, I tell you what, I was real rough on him. You know, they wanted to put him on pills. And they wanted to see a shrink. And I said, well, man, you can go see a shrink if you want to, or pills, this, that, and the other. I said, but that's not what you need. I said, you need to grow up. You call yourself a Christian. I said, you're not much of a Christian. If you let that keep you from being what God Almighty wants you to be. God never intended you to live that sort of life. He never intended you to. Don't turn me off, folks. I told you it's going to help you. If you just get this one thing, it's going to help you in your walk with God. So anyway, he was sitting about this close to me. And I said, first thing I want to know, I said, you act like you're an unsaved man. I said, I'm not convinced that you're even saved. He's a lot bigger than I am, buddy. I got a rise out of him. Man, I'm sitting over here, pastor over here. He says, I never talk to nobody. He said, I never get a rise out of nobody. But I says, hey. And then he says, begin. And I said, now prove to me. Tell me how you know you saved. Well, I read my Bible. I said, you read your Bible? That's not a biblical reason. I mean, I still don't convince you're saved. Boy, he just said, about that time he come flying up, I am saved. I said, well, how do you know it? Convince to me that you know Christ. You know, because your life don't demonstrate it. You act like an unsaved man. I said, now demonstrate to me that you're, how do you know you're saved? Give me. And then he began to, the wheels began to spark, you know. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I saw myself a sinner, and boy, by this time he had purple. And I was a sinner, and I received Christ. And I said, okay. I believe you convinced me that you know him. Sit back down. So anyway, but I said, you're still not much of a Christian. Now, the guy got it. Now, he was out of work for 8 weeks. They were losing their home, their marriage. Everything was an absolute mess. And they were going to put him on pills and put him on a shrink. And I said, listen. I said, this is the Christian. I said, this is you. Wait, that's you. But this is the Christian. This is the difference. This is what God commanded you. I've commanded you to be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. So that word strong means to bind, cleave, and fortify. Bind, cleave, and fortify. Well, where are you going to bind those truths? Well, that was the Christian. The weak Christian didn't. He was kind of sporadic in church. Maybe Sunday, maybe an Easter Sunday. He don't take time to read the Bible and apply it to his life through obedience. Well, I said, now, if you were a good Christian, you know, Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, if you were that good man, that disciplined man, I said, you let God be in charge. And if God gives you marching orders, then you discipline yourself to obey Him. And I learned 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in kindergarten. He said, in everything give thanks. Hey, that's the car accident too. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Grow up. Grow up. And then I said, did you know Romans 8:28? And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them according to His purpose. Do you know 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you know 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you as a Christian to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And then you just Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And you just keep adding another biblical truth. Have not I commanded to be strong. And then you've got your wife. Well, I didn't think of that one. He did. So anyway, I kept adding a biblical truth and 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 a biblical truth. And he couldn't argue. And so then I said, now what that means is, as a born-again believer, you are to bind those. Now, and I took a stack of pencils there that day. And I just bound them things. So it's always commanded to be strong and be good. You know, so I said, now. I said, son, I said, now break that. All right. That's what God intended you. He's still standing when others run. Did that make sense to you? You know what? Man was in church now. He didn't even want to be in church. He struggled just to come back Sunday night. Then we sat down and talked. The man was in church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Back on the job, in his vehicle. Didn't have to take pills and didn't have to see no shrink. Except me. But anyway. See this shrink. But anyway, you see, I had to let you know that. I don't know what you folks are going through or what you're going to face. But you need to get in that book. And you need to bind. What you need to do is hide His Word in your heart. Bind, cleave. No, you cleave those. Don't let them go. It's not enough just to take it in. You need to be obedient to it. And then fortify your life. You see, your walls are down. His wall, he had no walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, like a city broken down without walls. But that's not even the message tonight. We're going to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and this is going to knock your socks off. Now, you know it. You've memorized it. You know what it says, but you're not living it. It's kind of like that fella. Wasn't much, but this is going to help you. This is going to help you. How many of you folks actually know Romans 12, 1 and 2? You got it memorized, and you can frontwards and backwards even. Well, certainly. All right. Notice what Paul says here. By way of introduction, let me say this, because I've got a long ways to go and very short time to do it. By way of introduction, let me say this. God, you've got to underline it. Get it in your head. He did not save you. I'm sorry. He did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do down here. The purpose of God's work in mankind is to make it possible for man to glorify and magnify Christ. The only reason he saved you is that he might fix you up in such a way that you could render a service unto God that would glorify and magnify Christ. He didn't save you merely to get you out of hell. He didn't save you merely to forgive you of your sins. He didn't save you merely to take you to heaven. He wanted fellowship with you. Can you imagine? He wants to fellowship with me. He sent his son. I mean, he took upon himself my sins, died in my place so that I could fellowship with God, the Creator, 24/7, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. But it's the will of God that you so walk with Jesus Christ every day, that your heart will burn within you as he talks to you and while he opens to you his word. And many of God's people don't know what that's like. They don't even know what it is like to walk with Christ and have their heart burn within as the Son of God reveals himself to you. Not the preacher. I'm talking about you. But you can have this. This is how you did it. How do you get such a life? This is it. And if you're not willing to do this, there's no plan B. There is no plan. It's not going to just wait around all of a sudden, boom, on in. If you'll take a step of faith and obey God, you're going to discover a walk with Christ some of you folks have never dreamed possible. Yeah. Just like us trying to explain salvation to our family members who are lost. Have you ever tried to do that? Share the gospel with them and they think you're a nut? God's people think I'm a freak. They've actually said so. I've had God's people say, you're a freak, Norman. I said, okay, if I'm a freak, what are you? Hey, that's right. You are a freak. Hey, have your family members called you a Jesus freak because you're simply trying to share the gospel? Tell them you can have your sins forgiven, eternal life. Hey, you can have a home in heaven, guilt all gone. Man, they think you're an idiot. Right? That's foolishness. Well, I'm trying to tell you folks that walking with God is wonderful. It's wonderful. If you've ever known what it is to walk with the Creator, I'm telling you what, the things of this world, I grow strangely dim. I'm telling you, folks, this is not my home. I only have to pray about it. One day I'm going to be like Christ, whole and complete. But until then, I'm telling you, there's a battle going on. We're swimming up current. We've already talked about all that. But maybe you don't want that sort of life. Maybe there's somebody in here that wants something different. A greater walk, a closer walk. They want to be used to the full extent God wants to use them today in this time and period. If that be you, I hope you got your ears open, because here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. So he did not save you, might lift yourself and do what you want to do. You see, how do you know that? Read your instruction manual. 2 Corinthians 5:15. It's already in the head, but it's not enough to have it in your head. And that he, Christ, died for all. Oh, you did? Well, certainly I did. Tell how many times I have to tell you. Somebody got to hear it 17 times. No. Christ for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. One of the clearest passages in all the Word of God, which shows that God certainly did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do down here, but that you might make a decision to live for Christ. And live for Christ like no other Christian on the planet. And He never told you something you could not do. You folks, you limit yourself. God is able. God is able. You just got to take Him at His word. Act as if what God is saying is true. There is Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that in order that, why were you crucified with Him? You remember that in order that the body of sin, a Christian dominated by the old sin nature, might be destroyed. Remember that was dethroned, put out of office, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You ought not be serving sin as a monarch. You ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, if you're serving the King of Kings, you ought to live in such a way that you can say, I know I am well-pleasing in His sight. I am well-pleasing to God. Folks, you ought to have a conscience, a void of offense toward God and toward men. Something you work out day in and day out like an athlete works day in, day out in light of a praise. Well, prize, we work out day in, day out trying to keep our conscience clear, clean, that, you know, pure, clean, that we stand before Him one day unashamed. It's not impossible. It's just a matter of using 1 John 1:9 a lot. 1 John 1. Y'all have more times than I'd like to confess. But now, your body's not your own to do with as you please. See, those are already things. It's already in. My body is not my own to do what I please with. Folks, I was bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, Norman, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. How many of you folks in full-time Christian service? Now every hand ought to go up. If you're born-again believer, if you're a Christian, whether you know it or not, you are in full-time Christian service. Now, some people don't believe that, but see, maybe that's your problem. Maybe you're not saved. But if you're truly saved, born again, you're going to stand before God, give an account. So you better wake up. You are in full-time Christian service. Now, you might not be preached like me or a pastor or a missionary, but you are a layman, you somewhere. Hey, wake up. You're in full-time Christian service. So God did not save you that you might lift yourself and do what you want to do. Why didn't God save you? Here it is. This is the bottom line. God saved you, Chris, so that you might live for Christ. That's why He saved you. That Chris might live for Christ, that Chris might do the will of God, that Chris might glorify God. That's why He saved him. I don't know how long he's been saved. Maybe he's finding a new way. Some of you folks, how long you've been saved. It don't matter how young in the Lord, how old you are. It's just a matter of your heart, man. Your heart. Is your heart open to it? I know a 5-day-old Christian who got it. So you say, preacher, how can I do that? How can I live for Christ? Does anybody really want to know? Are you sincere and earnest? Do you want to know? How can I live for Christ? I'm 16 years old. I'm 10. How can I live for Christ? I'm 47. I'm 82. I had this dear lady. She says, I've lived a carnal life for 35 years. Praise God, she got it. She said, by the grace of God, that's going to change starting today. I like a girl like that. Yeah. And she was in her 80s already. 80-year-old got it. That's right. She's dead now. But she did get it. For a short period of time, she got it. So, how can you do that? How can I live for Christ? How can I do the will of God? How can I glorify God? How can I be what God Almighty wants me to be? How can I stand before Him one day unashamed? Folks, listen. The answer is found in the Bible. Wouldn't you think that would be where God, in the instruction manual? In our text tonight. The Bible tells God's people how to live such a life for Christ. Did you know that? The Bible tells us how to do it. Notice, first of all, the request made here is given to Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, I'd check myself out. given to Christians. Romans 12, believers. Listen, Romans 12, 1. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, that's us, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that is by means of the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that God's people may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can accomplish what is required of you in these two verses is by means of the mercies of God. His mercy is going to be extended to you tonight. Man, if God speaks to your heart, you feel that little tugging in your heart, I would respond to that mercy. I wouldn't wait for somebody else to get it. I mean, soon you feel that little tug, God's His mercy extended to you, and man, I'd run. I would get right, whatever it is, I would get that right. Get whatever God tells you to do. You're not going to live for Christ. You're not going to do the will of God. I'm sorry, you can't do it. You're not going to glorify Christ. You're not going to accomplish anything at all for God apart from God's mercy, folks. God said, it's only going to happen as I have mercy on you. Now, I would run to the front. If you don't get it, I wouldn't get up till I got it. He's wondering, are you serious? You're just not committed. You're not committed. And he's going to work on you. He's going to continue to work on you. Some people, their whole life, they never get it. He's going to work on you and work on you and work on you. And he's going to do what is needed to do to get your attention. So I got to hurry. I'll never get done. I ain't gone off on page 2 yet. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're going to go home and eat anyhow, right, guys? Y'all can stay here. The rest of them go. Okay. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, let's go ahead and jump on the... Father, please help me. I need your help. Please. Convey this truth. Help us, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, notice number one, present your body as a living sacrifice. If I could get you to do something tonight, it would be this. Get real. Present your body a living sacrifice to Christ. Romans 12, 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, neither in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, he said it this way, neither yield ye your members as instruments. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Again, that's a decision. You don't wake up one morning and find out you're well pleasing to God. You don't wake up one morning and find out that you're walking with God. You don't wake up one morning and that you have yielded or presented your body. You got to make a decision. And so what is Paul saying? He's simply saying this. You are to present your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ. Now, folks, I'm sorry. But I did that. That don't make me better. I just simply saying, come on, it's a good deal. It's just like me trying to plead with my brothers and sisters at home that know not Christ. It's a good deal. It's a free gift. You need to get saved. And they look at me like an absolute idiot. And I'm saying to my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a good deal. Present your body. If you've not done that, you don't even know what the Christian life is all about. You haven't even got to first base. You're still in kindergarten. You're still in the nursery. That is, you are to yield your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ, not as a dead sacrifice. He don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants somebody living. He wants a living sacrifice. Romans 6:11, Paul writes it this way. We're going over some of the stuff we've covered already. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed into sin. Now, in that sense, see, dead indeed into sin. In that sense, you are a dead sacrifice, folks. You are to be dead indeed unto sin. As a Christian, you are to be dead indeed to living for yourself. Period. You don't have to sin. If you do, you choose to do it. God made it possible to turn off the old sin nature that you have, that you're born with. You've covered that. So this verse goes on to say, but alive. Now, that's the living part. That's the living sacrifice. See, dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he said, hey, folks, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, member, body parts, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your lead foot, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then he said, for sin, you folks remember the promise? See, claim his promises by faith. Be obedient. You're going to be successful when you stand before him. So he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I got it. Well, I can clearly see from this passage of Scripture that God's promise to me as a believer is sin shall not have dominion over me. I no longer have to stay in sin. I no longer have to stay under the bondage of any sin, neither do you. If you do, you choose to do it because God set you free. He set you free from the dominion, from the controlling power, from the rule and reign of the old sin nature once and for all. Remember? Not from the presence of it, but its power to rule and reign in your life. Why is that? You got a new nature. You got something brand new. You got the Holy Spirit of God living in you as a born-again believer. Therefore, you have the power to turn him off. Just like you have power to turn off, just like you do over a bad TV program. Y'all remember that? Y'all been practicing turning him off. Under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you have the same power over the Holy Spirit, over the yeah, that too, over the old sin nature that you have, that you ought to have over a bad TV program. Sitting home tonight, something comes on TV, not fit for the kitchen to watch, so you get up and turn the thing off. Does it cease to exist? No. It exists out there somewhere. You turn off the reception. Sin nature exists in you, and I'm telling you, I'm going to finish this message, and I'm telling you, by the time I get down, he'd be crying to go home. Turn that thing off. Turn him off. He's going to be there in the morning, be crying out to go get his own way. You don't believe that, do you? How many of you folks have actually put into practice what God taught you? That's where John, amen, says, that's where John chapter 15, verse 5. I mean, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, some of you folks are letting it go in one ear and right out the other. That's not letting his word abide in you. Letting his word abide in you is taking the truths that you've learned, not letting them go, putting them into practice. That's verse 10, if you keep them, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And as you learn truth, God began to fix you up in his classroom. You apply truth, and you go where he wants you to go, bring yourself in total submission to him. Man, we could go home if y'all got that. You're still not committed yet. It's not even, you can see that. You see, you're still trying to figure out if this is real. Listen, folks, you can clearly see from, okay, we did that. Therefore, you have the power to turn off the old sin nature that you have. Now we skip some. Now, Galatians 2:20. I wish I could preach that. That's another hour. Okay, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Now, in that sense, you're a dead sacrifice. Sorry. Dead indeed into sin, dead indeed to living for yourself. But that verse goes on to say, wake up. Nevertheless, I live. That's the living part. Nevertheless, I live. That's the living sacrifice. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. You know what, not I? I've laid my life down. Some of you folks ain't laid it down yet. You got 98% down, but you don't have 100% down. You're not committed. I yield. No, did you yield in your eyes? Did you yield in your ears? I surrender all. How many folks actually said that? But see, you're lying to yourself. You've not done that. No, you think you did that, but you say, you don't love me. I love you. Man, I love you. You're lying to yourself. You say you got to face the reality. You've not done that yet. You're still holding on to something. And you know what? Spirit of God is confirming that with you too. And that's what he wants. I don't know what it is. But anyway, listen. Hurry up. Okay, so that's the nevertheless I live. So nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which now live in the flesh, you see me? In the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, I wish I had time to go into all that, but I don't. Okay, how can you live for Christ? Let's get going. How can you live for Christ? How can you do the will of God? How can you glorify God? How can you stand before him one day unashamed? How can you be what God Almighty wants you to be in the 21st century? God's people can be what God wants them to be as God's people present their bodies. That is, they choose to yield, put themselves at the disposal of God. Then yield themselves to God. Sacrifice is living sacrifices to God. Kind of see how it all ties them together? It's a theme through the whole book. Not as a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, dead indeed unto sin, dead indeed unto living for yourself. Now, Paul, what do you mean by a living sacrifice, holy? Have you ever wondered about that? Holy. Okay. The word holy here means that which is dedicated, that which is set apart. Okay. What is Paul saying? He's simply saying this, a living sacrifice. Are you a living sacrifice? I am. I'm a living sacrifice. I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to be a dead sacrifice. Dead indeed to sin. Dead indeed to living for yourself. That's my desire. I hope. Man, come on, let's do something for Jesus. We're still in the land of the living. That's been a passion to know Him. That's all I'm trying. Come on. What you afraid of? I'll tell you tomorrow night what you're afraid of. But that's another whole message in itself. Okay. So, a living sacrifice is to be dedicated to God. I'm not all I should be, could be. I sin, I make mistakes, I stumble, I fall. I'm as wicked as you are. Anything good in me, that's Jesus. You really get to know me like my wife does, I'm not that good. Okay, I'm telling you. That's right. If there's anything loving about Norman, it's not Norman. That's right. At least he knows it. It's the truth, whether you've figured it out yet or not. But it's true. So, listen. 9-year-old, remember the 9-year-old, green, right? So, dedicated, set apart. So a living sacrifice is to be dedicated to God, folks. A living sacrifice is to be set apart to God. What are you saying? When you yield your bodies, as the Christian presents his body, a living sacrifice to Christ, at that point in your walk with God, you are dedicating yourselves to God. You are at this point in your walk setting yourselves apart to God. This is a simple reminder that everything that you possess belongs to God. Folks, every ability that you have, every spiritual gift that you possess, every talent that you have, it all belongs to God. Amen. I'm sorry. He wants your life, your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your children, your family, your car, your transistor radio. He wants it all. Some of you don't even know what a transistor radio is. I did that for the old timers in here. It all belongs to God. Got to break up this somewhere. For example, you need to give this to God. You need to give your mouth to God. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with your mouths. And now he says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And so, listen, if you're going to do this tonight, if I could get you to do something tonight, it is get right. Get serious. If I could get you to present, if you're going to do that, if you're going to present your body a living sacrifice dedicated to God, it's going to be more than just going to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. It's going to be more than you reading the Word of God every day. It's going to be more than you being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Folks, it's going to be more. If you're going to present your body tonight, a living sacrifice dedicated to God, it's going to be more than just putting your tithes and offerings in the offering plate. You must yield your body a living sacrifice totally to God. And that is the key. Totally to God, totally given over to God in every single way. That's right. The hands, the feet, what you're doing, you're coming up and said, I commit 100%, totally. Well, he might take my eyes. You got it. But has he ever made a mistake? No, he slay me. Y'all know Job 13:15, right? See, that's in my book. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. See, folks, I don't serve him because I can see. I serve him because he deserves it. I was bought with a price. I don't have to see to serve God. Now, you know how you say that? See, I've already committed that. It's already, that was years ago. I've already given my years. I don't serve him because I hear. That was laid down. If he wants them, fine, not my problem. He'll make a way. That's what he wants. We're just not. See, I don't know where we've missed it over the few hundred years or whatever, but somewhere we've missed it, folks. And they don't want what I have to say. I've been in churches that said, "Mr. Stevens, you are no longer welcome." I've had fundamental Baptist churches ask me, pastors ask me to get out of the ministry by what I'm sharing with you tonight. I'm telling you, folks, we're in serious trouble. That's the only crowd I know to run with.
Well, I mean, man, I have to go find me a pew or something. I don't know.
Hey, is he worth it? Amen. You keep saying it. Well, listen, so you give him your mouth and your tongue. You know, a servant, if you yield your tongue to gossip, you're a servant of sin. If you yield your tongue to God, you're a servant of righteousness. We've already learned that. So you must yield your body as a living sacrifice totally to God. That's the key. Then the Apostle Paul said, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word acceptable here speaks of something that is well-pleasing to God, because God is the only one you must please. That's it. God. He is the only one I must please. And so the word, so what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, brethren, you have not been saved to please yourself, right? We've already established that you've not been saved to please yourself. I'm sorry, you've not been saved to do what you want to do down here in this life. You have been saved to yield, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, totally dedicated to God in every single way, so that now God is well pleased with you, totally given over to God, seeking only to please Him. Only seeking to please God, because that is what? Your reasonable service. Listen, you're not going to serve God. You're not going to be used to the extent God wants to use in His service down here if your body's not... See, you're just half committed. If you're not totally dedicated to God, if you're not totally given over to God in every single way. Can you imagine? Revival could take place right here. We could turn the world upside down if you folks just love Him. Not like Him, not appreciating, but if you just take a step of faith and just love Him. Love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the first commandment. I'm just looking for a church that'll do it. Listen, so let me ask you something. Do you have anything in your life today that is not totally dedicated to God? That's a yes or no. Do you have any plans in your life over which the Spirit of God does not have complete control, rule, and reign? Do you have any areas in your life where you say, Lord, you can have everything but this? Are you listening? You ain't getting that. If that be true of you, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you. Hey, folks, get that thing right. Get right with God. God knows how to get. He says, you go tell my people, I know how to get what my people are trying to keep from me. Now, you can go down that road if you want to, but I'm telling you, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. You're not going to like it. But if you respond properly, it yieldeth feasible fruit of righteousness. How do you know all that? Now, how do you think I know that? Been there, done that. He says, I know how to get what you're trying to keep from me. Trying to help you out. I'm only trying to help you. So present your body as a living sacrifice. Number two, be not conformed to this world. You're not going to like this one, but it's here anyhow. Evidently, there were some Christians in Rome, God's people in Rome, who were fashioning themselves just like the world. I kind of like today. They were acting like the world, God's people, acting like the world. Go figure. Hey, folks, they don't want what you have. Have you noticed? That's right. We're not a very good representation of Jesus Christ of the Christian life. And so, God's people, they copy the world's standards, they play the world's music, they wear the world's clothes. When you see children of God that way, it's hard to tell whether or not they're truly saved, whether you're truly born again. I go into the mall, I said, man, if you don't look, I mean, well, you know, I'm saved. I said, man, you don't, I have great big old earrings, thing, black things in their head, this thing. I said, what are you? I mean, man, different or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen some of them going down around, you give them the gospel tract, and you went, man, you ought to see them on an airplane. I'm telling you, I was like, but anyway, the words be not in our text. You see it, be not conformed to this world literally mean stop doing it. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this. This is the decision. Stop being like the world. Stop acting like the world. You can't possibly please God by acting like the world. You can't possibly glorify God by acting like the world, folks. You can't even truly worship Christ. You cannot truly worship Christ by being and acting like the world. So he says, go tell my people, stop doing it. Stop doing it. Do you allow the world to dictate your values in this life? That's a yes or no. You're going to have to change. You repent. Change your mind. Change your mind about your sin. Change your lifestyle. Change your... Repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of direction. You want to be used of God. Magnify God. You want this sort of life. Some of you folks are fooling yourself. Do you allow the world to dictate your priorities? Do you allow the world to dictate your standards and your dress and your music and even in entertainment? As a born-again believer, I'm telling you, God's not well pleased, and you ought not be doing that. Now you understand why I'm no longer welcome. Because I speak to the truth, and I've become your enemy. Folks, I'm not the enemy. Praise God, somebody standing up going to say something. I love you. I want you to stand before Him unashamed. And that's not going to happen by accident. What if I just said, hey, everything's going to be fine. God's going to be well pleased with you. Hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to stay. No, sir. I don't want that on my hands. Hey, how do you know that? Okay, let's go. I stated it and I try to give you a Bible verse and all with that. Okay, you ought not be doing that. It's absolutely impossible for you to love the things of this world and love your Savior at the same time. Amen. It is absolutely impossible for you as a Christian to copy the things of this world and be what God Almighty wants to be. You say, I don't believe that. You don't know the instruction manual. 1 John 2:15, God said, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what was Paul saying? He's simply saying this, brethren, can you see the Apostle Paul? I just see him. I beseech you. Man, if I could get you to do something tonight, totally dirty. I beseech you. I beg you to urge you. It's not about you. Yield. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ. Holy, set apart, dedicated to God in every single way so that God is well pleased with you. And stop acting like the world. Stop being like the world. You're frustrating yourselves. Hey, you're grieving the Spirit of God indwelling you, and you'll never be happy. The bottom line is this. Since you're born again, since you've been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, and hey, since you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and since you're a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ... Hey, are you in Christ? You saved?
Yes.
Okay, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like the new creature that you are and stop acting like the world, stop being like the world? You are frustrating yourselves. You are grieving the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, and you'll never be happy. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Isn't that good? This is how you can do it. Now, application. How can I? You say, no one can live that sort of life. I'm saying that you can, and don't believe the devil's lies. You ought to be living this sort of life. Don't live any other sort of life. Listen, how can we do that? Be transformed. You're not going to like it, but it's available. If you got your ears open, here's how you can do it. Number three, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed here means to be changed. The only way. There's not 15 ways. He says, listen, folks, the only way you are going to be what God wants you to be. That's right. The only way you're going to be what God wants you to be is to be changed by the renewing of your mind every day, by learning to think right. If you can learn to think right, if you can learn to think like God, if you can learn to think as God thinks, if you can learn to think God's thoughts, you will be transformed, the Bible says. No, you will be changed. Changed, transformed to what you ought to be for God. You say, now, preacher, how do you do that? How do you learn to think right? How does a person learn to think like God? How do you learn to think as God thinks? How do you learn to think God's thoughts? You already know. Right? It is at this point that the Bible makes its strongest fit for your attention. How important is the Word of God in your life today? The Bible is the record of God's thoughts. If you want to know how God thinks, read the Bible. If you want to know what God, how God feels, read the Bible. If you want to know what God hates, you hate the same thing. Got to get in His book. How do you get to? And then, what is it? If you want to know how what God loves, then you've got to spend time in His love letter to you. You love this book? His love letter to you. Now, if you want to know, what God expects out of you and feeling your Christian responsibilities as a full-time servant in the 21st century, 2014, then you need to spend quality time in the Word of God every day feeding the new nature that you have. Now, folks, I'm telling you, if you let the Word of God rule and dominate your mind, you're going to learn to think right. You'll learn to think like God. You'll learn to think as God thinks. You'll learn to think God's thoughts. If you think right, you think like God, you think as God thinks, you think God's thoughts, you're going to be different. You're going to be a freak. You're going to be a freak. I'm telling you, they're going to call you a freak. But folks, we're not home yet. Come on. I'm begging with you. I'm pleading with you. Come on. Man, we're still in the land of the living. I'm 57. Man, if I'm going to do something for Jesus, I could got time to be pulling around, floating around, and flying around, and playing around. Pump up, pep up, pump up. You know, that's what he told me that. He's not much of a Christian. I have to pep you, pump you, prop you up. How do you think I got that? Tell you. Hey, man, I'm telling me I'll be good for you, too. Amen. Oh, man. But anyway, oh, how do you do that? Yeah, so, listen, the battleground is in the mind. Did you know that? You've been saved long enough to figure that one out, right? The battleground is in the mind. Listen, the world will do everything it can to influence your thinking. Man, turn off the TV. Watch the video games you play, the books you read. They're going to influence your character, I'm telling you. I was kind of pain. I turned that TV off over 25 years ago. Man, I'd probably scare me to death turn that thing on now. Yeah, they're influencing your character. From some of the things I hear from people, I'm thinking, man, what book you get? Where are you getting that from? I don't know what they're trying to feed you out there. But listen, the world will do everything it can to influence your thinking. The flesh is going to do everything it can to possess your thinking. And I'm telling you, our adversary is going to do everything he can to mess up your thinking. And if any one of these six read in your walk with God, they're going to mess you up. That is, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're going to mess you up in your walk with God. In your spiritual growth, you'll never grow to spiritual maturity. You'll be a spiritual casualty. Have you noticed that in our country today? And so you say, preacher, what must I do? You need to give your mind to God. Remember, the successful Christian life is you making one decision after another. And if you think that living for Christ and walking with God is done some other way, you're fooling yourself. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make determination. By the grace of God, I'm going to serve Him. By the grace of God, I'm going to yield my money. By the grace of God, I'm going to cut my hair, you know, keep my hair cut, or I'm going to love my wife, or whatever. It's you making one. And if you think that living for Christ and living for God is done some other way, you're fooling yourself. Got to be a decision. And you've got a great opportunity tonight to make decisions. To yield your brain to God. I gave Him my brain. I gave it all. I just didn't know how much I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. I finally found somebody who meant what they said and said what they meant. You know who that is? That's my friend, Jesus Christ. He never lies to me. He's always truthful. He's God. And He says, you can trust me. And I just thought, man, that's cool. I can trust Him with my whole heart. No division. Make no provisions of the flesh. Nothing for yourself. And then when you yield Him your mind, He says, now turn that thing off. And what we do, we divide our life in little compartments. You say, God, you're supreme over here, but don't you touch my TV set. No way, Jose. No way. And then He said, I'm going to do what is needed to get you to get rid of it. But that was old school. I had a hard time with Johnny Cash. Oh, man, that took a while to get rid of Johnny. I like Johnny. He's dead now. I don't know if he's a saved man or not. But Clint Eastwood's still in the land of the living, last time I heard. You know that man is doomed and damned to hell? That's right. That's right. You ought to find out what he believes. I already heard what he said he believed. You know, I've been praying for him. I've been praying he might get saved. You know, he was one of my heroes. He was. I'm sorry. I told you I'm just like you. I had him up here, Jesus down here. One day, Jesus said, Whew! Then finally, I kept fishing back and forth and back and forth, and finally, I just turned him off. Best thing I ever did. Best thing I ever did. It couldn't be that simple. He was so simple. Just turn that guy off. Now I'm praying for him. Boy, I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him get saved. Not that he deserves it. We, none of us deserve it. But that's, now you're getting to think, and what's important to me. And so why, preacher? You need to yield your mind to God. It's that simple. What do you think on as a born-again believer? Does the Bible tell us? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Right. God didn't leave us without instruction. You see, Philippians 4:8, he said, now obey. Philippians, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be praise, think on these things. Report, things of good report, that's report. Okay, it's been a while since I said that one. Okay, your mind ought to be governed and body guide these kinds of things. All right, I'm almost done. What's the end result of all this? What's the end result of all this conversation? Well, let's get real. If we yield our bodies, what's in it for me? Okay. But if we choose and make a decision to yield our present tonight our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart to God, dedicated to God in every single way, so that He's well pleased with us. We refuse to allow the world to dictate our values. It starts with the decision. We're not going to allow the world to dictate our priorities. We're not going to allow the world to dictate our standards and our dress, our music, our speech, and entertainment. We learn to think right. We get in the book. We learn to think like God thinks. We learn to think God's thoughts, and what's the end result? Why would you do all that? Doing all these. Paul says, what is the end result of doing all this? Paul goes on to say that you as a believer, listen, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot improve upon God's plan for your life. Listen, what is Paul saying? He's simply saying this. If my people would do these things, if God's people would do this, God's people can prove the will of God. They can now prove the will of God. God's people can test it out and prove it to be good. They can now prove to themselves and to others that God's will, folks, is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, don't you want to live for Christ? Don't you want to do the will of God? Don't you want to glorify God? Don't you want to be what God Almighty wants to be? Then, like the Apostle Paul some 2,000 years ago, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that God's people may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can you accomplish in this life what God wants you to be? The only way you can accomplish in this life what God wants you to be. You can accomplish what God wants you to be in this life, what God wants you to be as you yield your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Totally dedicated to God in every single way so that God is now well pleased with you. Well pleased. Totally given over to God. Stop acting like the world. Stop being like the world. You're frustrating yourselves. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God living in you as a Christian. Never be happy. And I illustrate this. You folks, some of you folks remember it. For the new folks, 5-year-old, 8-year-old girl jumping up and down on the bed. Some of you folks remember the story 2 years ago? Yeah. 5-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl jumping up and down on the bed. It's not nothing new. You've heard it before. But you're still not committed. We're still playing. 5-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl jumping up on the bed, waiting for the garage door to open. They know the garage door open. And they know when the garage door opens, Dad's going to be in the front door, soon in the front door. So they both hear the garage door open. 8-year-old girl wanted to be first to Daddy, so she shoved her 5-year-old sister off the far side of the bed. Now, while her sister was on the floor, she ran out the bed. She jumped off the bed, opened the bedroom door, ran down the stairs. Dad walked in the front door. She slid across the hardwood floor, caught hold of Daddy's leg, and sat down on Dad's foot. I'm sorry. She's still in the nursery. For the most part, she's living a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. She's saved, born again, on her way to heaven, but she'll have nothing to show him that she truly loves him. Okay, by this time, 5-year-old girl picks herself up from the bedroom floor, begin to make her way down the bedroom stairs. She began to make her way toward Daddy, and the 8-year-old sister looks back and says very brashly, "See, I have all there is of Daddy." All she was saying is, folks, I'm saved. I'm coasting through. Things are going to be okay. It's all right. By this time, the 5-year-old girl walks over to Daddy, and Daddy bends over and picks her up, and they embrace each other, and now Daddy's going to wipe away her tears. And now she's going to respond to her sister on the foot who said, "See, I have all there is of Daddy." And she said, "Yes, sis, you might have all there is of Daddy, but look up here. Daddy has all there is of me." Now, folks, God Almighty has all there is of me. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to be perfect, mature. I've not arrived, nowhere close. I've not apprehended. But I'm telling you what, I've got I'm fixed, I'm pressing on the high calling that I might know him like no other Christian on the planet. I've already asked you to do that. I've challenged you to do that. But you don't. Is he worth it? Is he worth it? What keeps you from doing it? What keeps you from making the decision? Come back tomorrow night, I'll give you 4 reasons why you won't. Well, the Bible will give you 4 reasons why you won't. But don't go doing that, right? Go ahead and do it tonight. Get it done. So, listen. But God Almighty has all there. But does God Almighty? God has all there is of me, but does God Almighty have all there is of you? That's yes or no. If no, then you need to do that. You need to do that. If I could get you to do, then you will now begin to discover what the Christian life is on, what Christ has for you. I'm telling you. Don't sound right. Try to convince your unsaved folks that heaven's real. God's people don't even believe hell's real, for the most part. Hey, I preach on hell now, and they don't like me preach on hell. I ain't even preached on hell. I got a message on hell. And man, it'd make your head swim. I preached that one time and they didn't like it. Twice I've preached that message. I guess it's just a little bit much too for them. But there's way too much for them. But anyway, and I ain't even preached on that. A vast majority of God's people today are living just like that little 8-year-old girl in Daddy's foot. God's people, well, they possess eternal life. They've been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, but they're not living like it. They're not acting like it. God's people are caught up in the world, the flesh and the devil. The will of God is the last thing on their agenda, the least of their concerns. And for the most part, they're living a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ in the 21st century. And God said, "I never intended my children to live that sort of life. Now go tell my people." So I've delivered the mail. That's all I've done. You know what? I'm going to go home tonight. If you kick me out of here, I'm still going to be a happy man. Hey, I know what it is to carry my luggage down. Fine. I got a car. I got me a car already. Praise God. But anyway, if that's what, hey, but I'm not fooling around. I'm serious. I'm a serious. For this kid's sake, they need to see it. They need to see that, Mom, that this is real. So what you need to do, maybe you've not presented, you've not got settled yet. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Get real. Get serious. Not just 99. You made a commitment to her, right? That was a conscious, deliberate decision. So why don't you just make a conscious, deliberate decision to, and see, that's what he wants. And when you do that, he said, "Now let me show you a Christian walk you've never dreamed possible." But see, it don't sound right. That's too easy. Okay. Hey, I'm done. Holy Spirit of God don't convince you. I don't know.